Amen. If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. John chapter 15. We're continuing our study, Abiding in Christ. And tonight we come to lesson number 3. We've already learned about abiding in His presence and abiding in His purpose. And we do have a purpose in this life, and it's to bear fruit to the glory of God. And so we come to John 15 again. We're going to stick with the same verses for the next few weeks and really try to dig into them a little bit more and focus on a little bit different part each time. So if you're able, let's stand together. John chapter 15 tonight, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Everybody ready? Excited? Priscilla's excited. Good. All right. Here we go. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding of your word tonight. Please convict our hearts. Pray that if anyone here tonight is not a branch in the vine, if there's someone here tonight who's never been saved, that tonight they would truly repent, believe with all their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and call on you, receive the gift of eternal life. And I pray for those who are saved, that you would help us to bear fruit for your glory. Please help us tonight. Please speak to our hearts and comfort hearts and give peace as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice verse 2 tonight as we consider abiding in his purging. At verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Tonight we're going to learn that the Christian life requires purging. Before you can experience the product of abundant fruit, God must purge your life by his grace. Now God will purge you by his word, he'll purge you through prayer, and God will purge you through trials. Now, we really don't really understand, I think, in our nation today what real trials are, but let me tell you about a man who did. In May of 1984, Benjamin Weir was a veteran missionary to Lebanon. He was kidnapped at gunpoint by Shiite Muslims in Beirut. And for 16 months, he was imprisoned and threatened with death. On the first night of captivity, they took the blindfold off of him and they gave him a pair of ski goggles with eye holes covered with thick black tape. And for 16 months, this man was in the dark. He, after 16 months, was released. And I want you to listen to what he wrote about his time in captivity. He said, in the twilight, there came to my mind the hymn, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. I felt vulnerable, helpless, and lonely. I felt tears in my eyes. Then I remembered the promise of Jesus. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so I prayed, Lord, I remember your promise, and I think it applies to me too. I've done nothing to deserve it, but receive it as a free gift. I need you. I need your assurance and guidance to be faithful to you in this situation. Teach me what I need to learn. Deliver me from this place and this captivity if it is your will. If it is not your will to set me free, help me to accept whatever is involved. Show me your gifts. and enable me to recognize them as coming from you. Praise be to you. And so for the next 16 months, Benjamin Weir found his hope and joy in the fact that he was not simply abiding in captivity, but he was abiding in Christ. He said that, "I remember the words of the hymn, 'Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me.' If we want to bear much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must be willing to accept God's purging in our lives. Now, nobody ever wants purging, but everybody wants fruit. The fact is, you can't get the fruit without the purging. Now, how many of you like fruit? Can I see your hands tonight? How many of you at least like fruit better than vegetables? I like fruit. I love strawberries. I love blueberries. I love any of it, especially when it's covered in sugar. The best way. But I like fruit. And we all know where fruit comes from, right? You go down to the grocery store and you buy it. It's where fruit comes from. Along with milk and eggs, it's just there, right? No, we all know that that's not the case. We know that there is a process that has to take place before it gets in the grocery store. We understand that somewhere someone had to cultivate a field, and somewhere someone had to plant the seed, and somewhere someone had to keep the weeds out, and somewhere someone had to protect it from predators, and somewhere someone had to cultivate it and to take care of it and to harvest it and to clean it and to bring it to the store. We understand that there was a process that took place for that fruit to be there for us to enjoy. And we need to understand something. If we're going to bear fruit for the Lord, there's a process that's going to have to happen. You're not just going to wake up one day and be bearing fruit for God. There's a process that has to take place. First of all, would you consider that we need to have the water of the Word of God in our life? Psalm 1:3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Who is that? It's the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates in it day and night. If you love God's Word, then you can bear fruit for the Lord. And we've got to love the Word of God. How crazy it would be for us to think that a tree could live without water, that a tree could bear much fruit without water, and yet we think that we're going to bear fruit without being in the Word. It's ludicrous. You're not going to bear fruit for God if you're not in the Word of God. Also, can I suggest to you that we need to have an open and a submissive heart towards the Word of God? Listen, I hope you have a prayer list and a Bible reading list. I hope that you've been using our calendar. I told you guys, I encouraged you as we started the year, our January calendar, and we're coming towards the end of that, where February calendars will be out, and we've got Bible reading for every day of the year, and there's lots of other Bible reading lists. I hope you read your Bible every day. I hope you read your Bible every day without fail. I want you, please hear me. If every member of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church read their Bible every day without fail, it could change this church. But it won't change this church if we just check something off of a list. If we don't read God's Word with an open heart and willingly submissive to whatever God shows us, then it's not going to make a difference. We need to go to this Word with a heart that says, "God, change me." Some people go to the Word to see how good they are. But that's not going to work. We've got to go with a submissive heart. Jesus, when he taught about the parable of the sower, he said, "He that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold and some 60 and some 30. Now, Who were these people? They were people whose hearts were good and receptive to the Word of God. Their hearts were ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And that's the way we need to be. By the way, when you come to church, you ought to come with a heart that's ready to hear from God. Have you ever heard somebody get out of church and they say, "Well, I just wasn't getting anything out of it"? I've heard a lot of people quit church because they weren't getting anything out of it. Let me help you out. If you're not getting anything out of church, 9 times out of 10, that's your fault and nobody else's. There might be some time when it's somebody else's fault, but the vast majority of the time, if you're not getting anything out of church, it's your fault. If you don't put anything into it, you're not getting anything out of it. That's a principle that applies in a lot of our lives. Give and it shall be given you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And if you give nothing of yourself to the reading and study and listening and paying attention to the Word of God and a ready heart to do what He says, then you're not going to get anything out of it. We've got to have a ready heart as we come to the Word of God. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And man, we ought to come with a heart that says, "God, I want You to speak to me. Please forgive my sin. Please help me to hear Your word. Help me to obey Your word. God, I want You to talk to me." Have any of you ever done that? Have you ever come wanting God to speak to you? Have you ever cracked your Bible in the morning with a hunger? "God, speak to me. God, show me something." When it's not just going through the motions, when it's real. "God, I want You to talk to me. God, I need You." And so many times we have that heart when we want something. When we're having a hard time and we're looking for answers. But friends, what will change our lives, what will change our church, what will change this community through this church is when we come like that, not because we're having a problem, we're looking for an answer, but we come like that just because we want to know God. Just because we want to be close to God. Just because we want to know His will and do His will. And we need to come with that heart. I don't know if you've ever, how many of you have ever seen grapevines? Anybody? A few of you? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but grapevines, they have the stalk comes up and the vine is there. And the vine is pretty stationary. It goes where it goes and it's there. But the branches, they tend to wander. Branches on a grapevine tend to go all over the place. I mean, they really will run wild if you don't take care of them. If you've ever seen a grapevine that's not being taken care of, it's all over the place. It's crazy looking. But you see one that's been pruned and been taken care of, it looks very controlled. It's very uniform. Everything's where it's supposed to be. And friends, that's exactly what we are in Christ. We're branches, and we tend to go wild. We tend to want to go where we want to go. We want to take the path of least resistance. We want to do what we want to do. But God is the husbandman, and He wants to get us where He wants us to be. And God's goal for your life is to put you in position to bear the most amount of fruit possible for your life. Isn't that awesome? That God wants to work in your life in such a way that you can do the most for His kingdom. And all the while, we're resisting that. But God's trying to bring us to a place where we can be where He wants us to be. We're prone to wander. We want to do our will. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But Jesus is the vine and God is the husbandman. And He wants to prune us, to purge us, and to bring us in line so that we can bring the most glory to Him. Very quickly tonight, number one, purging signifies the providence of God. Purging signifies the providence of God. Can I just remind you tonight that God is still in control? God didn't just sit us out there on our own and leave us to our own devices. God is still actively involved in our lives. He is still in control and He cares about our lives. And He cares enough about us to not let us run wild. Listen, let me help you out real quick. There seems to be a complete lack of control with children in the world today. If you don't believe me, just go to Walmart. Now listen, I see parents, they don't want to discipline their kids, they don't want to make their kids mind, they want to let their kids have their freedom and do their thing. But let me tell you something, if you think you love your kids more because you don't discipline, I promise you this, you are dead wrong. If you love your kids, you'll discipline them, you'll teach them boundaries, you'll give them guidelines, and you will teach your children to this point that when you're walking through the Walmart parking lot and your child starts to run out in front of traffic, when you say, stop, they stop. Why? Because you've taught them to obey you. They've learned to listen. They've learned that when daddy says stop or mama says stop, it means stop. But so many parents, they don't want to discipline their kids. They don't want to make a mind. And I'm telling you, I can't believe how many times I've almost seen children die in Walmart parking lot because their kids won't mind. I'll never forget. It was before Abigail was very big at all. There was a little kid running through the parking lot, and mama's chasing after her saying stop, and the baby's just, the little toddler's just laughing because it's a game, because they've never had to mind before. And mama caught that baby just at the end of the aisle, and a big Ford truck jacked up came flying through there, and that kid was just feet away from getting splattered by that truck. I'm telling you, your kids don't like it when you make a mind, and they don't like it when you discipline them, but I'm telling you, you do that because you love them. And God loves you too much to let you run wild. He's going to keep us trimmed up because he's the husbandman. A husbandman is a vine dresser. Now listen, purging is not always pleasant. Pruning is not always pleasant, but it is necessary. It's trimming that must be done, the shaping that must be done, and God chastens those who he loves. There's a man who was going through a rough time, and it just seems like everything in his life was going wrong, and he was going through all these afflictions, and he was at Oxford. And he saw a pomegranate tree there, and it was, he thought it was very beautiful, but he looked, and one of the stems had been cut really deeply with the pruning knife. And so he asked the gardener, he said, why did you cut this tree like that? And the gardener said, this tree used to shoot up so strongly and shoot out so strongly that it didn't bear anything but leaves. He said, so I was obliged to cut it. I was obligated to cut it in this manner. And when it was almost cut through, it began to bear fruit. Listen, if you're just running wild, you're not going to bear fruit. If you're just going wherever you want to go, do what you want to do, God will cut you. God will prune you. He will do things in your life to make you rely on him. Let me help you out. How many of you ever heard or said, God won't put more on you than you can bear? Where does that come from? Well, the Bible says the Lord will not tempt you above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. No, that's temptation. But God will load you up with burdens and trials so you have no choice but to depend on him. If you think God won't put more on than you can bear on your own, you're crazy. God will always load you up with more than you can take on your own because God wants you to learn to depend on him. Isn't that uplifting? Amen. You're welcome. Listen, a lot of people are out there thinking God's going to make it easy for you. But the more you love and serve God, he's not going to make it easy. He's going to make it hard. If you don't believe me, how many of you think Jesus' life was easy? You think you're better than the master? No. How many of you think the Apostle Paul's life was easy? No. And the great missionaries and pastors of the past that we look to and have had such a great impact on the world, do you think their lives were easy? No. No, they bore great burdens that forced them to depend on God. Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 8 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Friend, listen to me. God loves his own. He chastens his own. And if God doesn't chasten you, then you don't belong to God. want you to look back at verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Notice verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I want to tell you what I believe. I believe verse 2 may be talking about saved people who don't get right with God. And later, he's going to talk about people who I believe were never saved in the first place. But let me tell you, without question, there's a pattern that happens in a believer's life when they sin against God. First, God will convict you of your sin. You ever been convicted of your sin? And if you don't repent after God convicts you, then God will chastise you. And I don't know how chastisement will come, but when I read my Bible, a lot of times people are sick. The church at Corinth, those people were sick. Why? Because they sinned against God. Calamity came to their life. Trouble came to their life. Trials came to their life. And it was because of their sin that God allowed all this trouble to come and trials to come and sickness to come. Now, am I saying everybody that's sick has sinned against God? Maybe. Could be. When I get sick, that's the first thing I do. Lord, what have I done? What have I done? But I know this. Sometimes trials and troubles and tribulation comes because of our own stinking fault. I agree with the sign that said everything happens for a reason. Usually it's because you did something stupid and brought it on yourself. You didn't like that? I thought that was awesome. People think they sound so philosophical. Everything happens for a reason. Usually bad things happen to me because I'm stupid and I brought it on myself. So God will convict you, God will chastise you, and if you ignore the chastening of the Lord, you know what will happen? He will call you home. There's a sin unto death. The church at Corinth, they had made a mockery of the Lord's Supper. They were eating and drinking, getting drunk, and all this nonsense was going on. And Paul told the church, he said, that's why there's a lot of people sick there, and some of them are dead because they have sinned against the Lord and they didn't get right. So God will take away those who ignore his chastening. Friend, let me help you. Listen to the chastening of the Lord. First of all, listen to the conviction of the Lord. Keep a short account with God. If you sin against God, repent and confess it immediately and strive by the grace of God not to do it again. Don't keep unconfessed sin in your life. That's crazy. Because God's just going to keep on whooping you until you get it right. Can I ask you a question? How many of you with children had to whoop your kids and keep whooping them till they got right? Hey, just a question for some of you more experienced parents than me. Have any of you ever whooped your kids till you were ashamed? Mm-hmm. Just checking. I mean, I'm asking for a friend. Now, we won't talk about if you ever wanted to kill your kids. We're not going to talk about that because this is being recorded. It goes on the internet. But you tell your kids, and you tell your kids, and then you whoop your kids. And if that doesn't work, you whoop them, and you punish them, and you punish them until they get right. And that's what God does with us. Now, I want to help you out, though. Those that aren't bearing fruit, he takes away. But notice what he says. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't it interesting that God purges the branches that are already being fruitful? Have you ever looked at somebody's life and thought, you know what? They're serving God. They're in church. They're faithful. They're teaching Sunday school. And man, they're always in church. They read their Bible. They're a witness for Jesus. And I can't believe all the trouble that they're going through. Well, you ought to believe it. Don't think it's some strange thing. God said, if they're bearing fruit, I'm going to purge them so that they can bring forth more fruit. I've heard people say stuff like that. That person, they're so good and so wonderful and so faithful in church. I don't know why they're going through all that trouble. Well, don't be surprised. God purges those who are bearing fruit. We need to strive to bear fruit for the Lord. We need to remember that God is involved with our life, that He is sovereign. And the purging of God signifies the providence of God. Secondly, notice that purging increases the productivity of God's people. God purges by removing the object of our affection. Purging is defined by Webster as to make free of impurities, to rid of unfriendly elements. And if you get some things in your life that are keeping you from bearing fruit, God will get rid of them. Think about the branch. And part of it's bearing fruit, but part of it's not. Why? Usually because there's some dead stuff that's in the way. There's some withered up part of the branch that's no good. And so He trims it off. He gets rid of it. There's a lot of times, like I mentioned a while ago, the pomegranate tree on a grapevine, it may be making a branch that's got lots and lots and lots of leaves, and it looks really, really pretty, but it's worthless. Because you don't plant a grapevine to grow leaves. You plant it to grow grapes. And God didn't call you and save you and give you life so that you could look pretty for the world to see. No, He called you and saved you so you could bear fruit for His glory. And listen, don't you see the picture? Aren't there a lot of Christians who it looks really, really good? It's beautiful. They look so Christian-y. They say all the right things and wear all the right shirts and have the right bumper stickers on their car. And they listen to the right music and it all looks so good, but they're not bearing fruit. And God says, I'm not going to put up with that. He'll get rid of that. Robert Browning Hamilton had a poem. He wrote, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Now listen, you go through the good times in life and the fun stuff and the pleasure, and that's all good and well. But I'm going to tell you this, spiritually, I guarantee you every person in this room has grown more through times of sorrow and anguish than they ever did through times of happiness and physical pleasure. I'm telling you that when you're in that hospital and you're heartbroken and you're crying and you're at the end of your rope and there seems like there's no hope and you're despair and you don't know what to do, I promise you spiritually growth will come more in that dark hour than it ever will when things just are going fine. Is it the truth? Never do we see more clearly than through eyes that are washed with tears. And the trials of this life purge us. They cleanse us. Purging increases the productivity of God's people because God removes the object of our affection. This purging, it means to prune or to cleanse. It comes from the Greek word katharos, which is translated in our Bible pure or clean, and it's all throughout. It's actually in verse 3 where He says, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And God purges us by keeping us disciplined to the vine. Faithful Christians are those who have stayed, the fruitful Christians are those who have stayed faithful through difficult trials, and they stayed close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God will send tribulation, but let me help you. My experience, people, when tribulation comes, they either get closer to the Lord or they turn farther away from the Lord. And if through your trial you'll come closer to God, you will bear more fruit in the end. Romans 5, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God was glorified because Paul praised Him through his tribulation. And that's what we need to do. Through the burdens come the greatest blessings. And so I got to ask you tonight, do you want to bear fruit for Jesus Christ? Now listen, just look in your heart tonight. Do you want to bear fruit for Jesus? If you want to bear fruit for Jesus, that's great. But are you willing to endure the purging so that you can bear more fruit for Jesus? Purging facilitates the purification of God's people. We think about the husband when we think about him with his pruning shears. We think about him coming through and pruning the branches that aren't bearing fruit and taking them away. We think about him cutting out the dead stuff that was never going to bear fruit at all and it's burned. We think about him coming through with the ones that are bearing fruit and he's pruning them too, cutting them back and making them where they can grow and bear more fruit. But there's another thing that happens. In those vines, even to this day in the Middle East, I read that sometimes those vines and the branches get down on the ground. And if you've got a garden, you've had this happen. Your fruit gets down low. It gets down in the dirt. You know what happens to that fruit that gets down in the dirt? It gets dirty and it rots. And so what happens is they come through with their grapevine and this grapefruit, the fruit is down in the muck and the dirt and the mud. And so they get it up. They tie it closer to the vine and then they wash it off. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you? Jesus said, listen, my Father is the husband, and he's going to purge every branch that bears fruit. He's going to cleanse it. And when you get down in the world and you get dirty, he wants to get you out of that filth. He wants to get you up closer to the vine, and he wants to clean you up. Isn't that a great picture? Isn't that exactly what happens in our lives, even when things are going good sometimes? Sometimes when things are going good, that's the worst off we are. We get away from the vine. We get away from him. And what are we doing? We're moving down and closer to the world. When we get down in the world, what do? We get the world's filth on us. We get dirty. We get grimy with the filth and sin of this world. And the Lord says, listen, I'm not going to put up with that. I want you back up here. And so He'll stretch us. He'll bend us. He'll move us. And he'll get us closer to that vine. He'll bind us closer to the vine. And then he wants to wash us off. He wants to make us clean. Maybe in your life tonight, God needs to trim some stuff up. Maybe there's some things in our lives that are keeping us from bearing fruit for Jesus Christ that God wants to get rid of. Maybe there's some unconfessed or unrepented sin in our lives that we need to get right with Jesus tonight. That we just need to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I have failed you. Please forgive me. And can I just remind you tonight that if we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, I've got great news for you tonight. The whole purpose of this, you say, I don't want to be purged. I don't want to go through trials. I don't want bad stuff. Oh, but you do, because at the end of all that, the junk is out of the way. The filth is cleansed off of you, and you are left closer to Jesus and able to bear more fruit for his glory. And isn't that where we want to be? I don't think that we ought to just endure the purging of God. I think we ought to embrace it. I think we ought to look for it. Isn't that what the psalmist prayed for? Lord, search my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. You know, I used to study that and think, man, David, you're nuts. I don't want God to examine my heart. I don't want God to show me all the stuff that's wrong with me. You must be crazy. But why did he do that? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He was pursuing the heart of God. He said, God, I want you to look, and if there's anything not right, I want to get it right. I want you to get rid of the filth. I want you to purge me so that I can be closer to you. This evening, as we get ready for an invitation, while our musicians are coming, would you stand with me, please? I'm so thankful for you being here. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And I just pray that if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, listen to me. I'm glad that you came to church tonight. That's wonderful. I'm glad you sat through and you endured the message, that's great. But if it doesn't change us, then it's not worth anything. People, we've got to be real. We've got to have a real heart that says, God, I want to know you. I want to draw close to you. So tonight, would you pray like David? Lord, search my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Look in your heart. Examine it. If there's something you need to repent of, some sin you need to confess, just get it right. You say, well, I don't know what people think. Who cares what people think? Why don't you care about what God thinks? And if your heart is right with the Lord tonight, praise the Lord. But let's go and strive to bear more fruit. Let's draw closer to the vine and look forward to the purging that God brings into our lives. Let's sing what number?
Page 514.
Number 514.